when it comes to this idea of peace. I've never heard anybody say, "Hello, I'm Jim. I'm overwhelmed with peace."
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Thank you for being with us on our family Sunday, where we're in this Christmas series, and it's always a great time to be together. It's always a great time to study God's Word. No matter all the festivities that might come our way, we know that this season is all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Come on. And we're in this series called All I Want for Christmas. You know, we're conditioned in our American mindset to want a lot of things, right? Maybe it's jewelry, maybe it's a house, maybe it's a big wardrobe, maybe it's just fun. It's the new electric scooter that you want to zip around the neighborhood, or the dirt bike. Kids, don't you know you love a lot of things? Maybe it's the new video game system, right? Well, here's the thing. We're conditioned to want a lot of things, but there's only some things that truly matter that God can provide through His Son, Jesus. So all I want for Christmas is we're looking at this approach of what Jesus can provide. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, I want you to read this with me. It's a theme verse for us in this series is this: "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, that gift being Jesus Christ, and the good work He's come to do for each and every one of us." And so it's fascinating how Paul puts it, that we can't describe what Jesus brings into our life. You know, there's something different about someone who has a relationship with Jesus. There's 2 Corinthians is like a veil is removed from our eyes. That when you have Jesus living in your life, there's some gifts that come into your life that you can't get from anywhere else. Last week we talked about forgiveness. Today I want to talk to you about peace. You know, in the Christmas season, sometimes we don't really equate it with it being a very peaceful time, right? Like, it can be a little hectic, it can be a little chaotic, and you're like, "Lord, let me just get through this Christmas season." Has anybody ever thought that before? I'm not gonna ask you this week who's got all their Christmas shopping done, because some of you right here are like, "Hey, Pastor, let's get this message over with so I can get shopping," right? And some of you right now are in this moment where you pull out your phone and you're like, "I'm searching through Amazon right now, order, and like, oh yeah, he said that, I need to get this done right now." But a lot of times we don't have a peaceful mindset or a calmness throughout life. And not just in this Christmas season, but when things get hard. You know, a lot of times Christmas can kind of look like this. I have some pictures that can describe it a little bit, like this. When you're setting up the Christmas tree, right? When the tree is just too heavy and you can't really handle it, you can't deal with it, or wait, we have this other one that kind of reminds me of some hectic times. You know, has your mom ever came up with a great idea at Christmas and you're like, "Mom, that's terrible. Like, hey, here's the family Christmas card." Like, "Mom thinks it's awesome. This is terrible. I'm doing it because I love my mom," right? Like, so you, like, some of us are like, "Oh, we've never had that." You're probably the mom coming up with the great ideas, right? Like, or we have something like this when it comes like, "Hey, it's just gonna be an easy shopping day," and you run into that, right? Thank the Lord for online shopping. Or maybe it comes to one of these moments in life when you're like, "I can't wait to get away." And that's what traveling becomes: hectic and chaotic. And so we have these moments that happen, and we order packages and presents, and we see these things. It's like, "I hope it gets here," and it doesn't show up. So I've never heard anybody describe themselves when it comes to this idea of peace. I've never heard anybody say, "Hello, I'm Jim. I'm overwhelmed with peace." You know, but the truth is, Jesus, when He comes into your life and when He wants to have a relationship with you, is He wants to provide you with this overwhelming amount of peace that when you see the news, when you go through a hard time, when you're faced with some difficulties in life, He's like, "Hey, I can keep you cool, calm, and collected because you know who's running the show." So that's what Christmas is all about, my friends. It's about this natural, supernatural work of Jesus Christ's gift of peace in our lives. That's why when Paul says he's an indescribable gift, we come to this moment, like, how can followers of Jesus live in such a peaceful way when it seems like things outside of this church building are pretty crazy? So in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, we're pulled to this text this morning, and it says this, Dr. Luke puts it this way, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. I want to pull out two observations from Luke chapter 2 this morning. Is this observation one, is this: Luke never says Jesus will bring peace to this earth. I want us to capture, I think a lot of times we get that twisted, we get that mixed up a lot, like, oh, Jesus is going to bring peace. Actually, the only time these kind of Jesus bringing peace on earth comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, which reads this, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Like, some of us have this conception of Jesus that he's a very passive individual. The gospel, my friends, is extremely offensive because it's a lifestyle that Jesus is calling us away from and calling us into something new. So Luke never, we never see that Jesus is going to bring peace on this earth. What we do see is that we're going to see peace to whom his favor rest. And we're given that promise that Jesus brings peace to those who declare him as Lord and leader over their life. So you might be going through something right now, and I don't know what you're faced with, and you're struggling. My friends, the answer is this peace that only can come from Jesus into your life when you start to have a relationship with him. We're given this promise that whom his favor rests will discover peace. John 14, 27, the author puts it this way, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The world can't offer this indescribable gift that Jesus gives us through the supernatural working of peace over our lives. In the Old Testament, there's approximately 300 prophecies, and it's crazy to think that Jesus filled each and every one of them. Today, we're going to take a moment, and we're going to look at one of those. It comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It reads this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this kind of inclination when you study scriptures. You're like, huh, these words, do they really line up? Like, Prince of Peace. So if you look at the Old Testament, it's written in this Hebrew language. And really, when we see Prince of Peace, it means these two words broken out, Sar Shalom. So you break this down, it's fascinating because this word Sar, two words, we get known as Prince of Peace, but Sar Shalom. Now, it's fascinating. When I think of Prince of Peace, I think of this, you know, I don't know if you ever, what you imagine when it comes to Prince, maybe you think of a singer that likes purple, you know, or maybe some of you are like, hey, I think of this, like, English guy, and he's like this dainty little, you know, fair-skinned individual, and he's like, dude, that's the prince, like, let's go beat up the prince, right? Like, but Sar Shalom is this idea. It's actually where the Romans get the word Caesar from, meaning ultimate leader, ultimate authority, ultimately the one in charge. That's what Sar means. And then you combine that with Shalom. Shalom means there's this rest, there's this tranquility, there's this wholeness, this content contentment around, completeness. And when you put the Sar Shalom, or Prince of Peace, together in its original written language, it means that Jesus Christ is the Lord of rest, that he's the general of tranquility, that he's the chief of contentment, that he's the commander of completeness. See, Jesus is the ultimate embodiment of peace. And often, so many people seek and search for peace, but they're not looking in the right area or looking to the right person. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace." If I want you to capture a big idea today, it's simply this: peace in life can only be found when Jesus is the center of your life. So I don't know what might bring peace to you or what you think will bring peace to you. It's not the larger your pocketbook is. It's not how much stuff you accumulate. It's not how successful your kids might be or how you make it through in this season and navigate all the festivities and say, hey, I did it, and I didn't yell at people along the way. That's not what peace is. And peace is a who. When I asked my daughter yesterday, we were walking around the block, I said, hey, what is peace? Now, she's three. So when I asked her what is peace, trying to get some content for this message this morning, she goes, it's those little green things, ew, you know? And I'm like, no, girl, that's peas, right? And we don't really eat them at our house, right? I've asked other people, people say, you know, peace is the absence of conflict. People say when everything is calm. See, I would contest to you and say this: peace isn't the absence of something, but rather the presence of someone. So we live in a day and age where it's like, if I could just avoid the conflict, if I can remove it and extract it, I would say, who do you need to add to deliver peace into your life? So today, I just want to briefly give you this morning how to experience peace in your daily lives. The first one is this. It begins here, and we don't shy away from it at this church, is this: get under the lordship of Jesus. We have to get under the lordship of Jesus. We don't like that. Nope. I want to rule and reign and control my life. I am King Blake. I am the master of my life. If you want to find peace, you're giving away your authority over your life. Acts chapter 10, verse 36, Dr. Luke puts it this way: you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord over all. What's he Lord over? All. There's no question, my friends. It's not some. It's not, hey, I'm going to give over this part of life. Lord over all. So the question is Jesus reigning over your finances? Is Jesus reigning over your family? Is Jesus reigning over your decisions? Is Jesus in charge? Is he the starting point in life? So I think this, I fundamentally believe this. If you study and do stats and ask people, do they believe in God? Many people would say yes. Many people like the concept of Jesus. Many people want Jesus as Savior. Not everyone wants him as Lord. Savior versus Lord. It's fascinating. The Bible, the term Savior is used approximately 36 times. Seems like a lot. The term Lord, 7,800 times. So when you start thinking about peace in your life, the first question you need to ask yourself, who's actually the Lord over your life? Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." God, be the leader over our lives. Every day we gather, every day we praise, every day we worship, we're saying, Jesus, you're the leader. You're the Lord over this church. You're the Lord over the families of this church. You're the Lord over the children of this church. It's not about us. It's about every day I'm giving up what I desire and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. You are my refuge. You are my fortress in my life. So you have to make Jesus Lord. Secondly, when it comes to peace, you need to bring Jesus into every situation. Now, we are Americans, and we are masters at compartmentalizing and segmenting life. I got my personal life. I got my work life. I got my family life. I got other activities. I got my church friends. I got my work friends. And we start looking at life in very compartmentalization moments. And my friends, peace cannot happen until there is uniformity in each one of those areas. And that uniformity is meaning that Jesus is involved in each and every area. We can't just say, hey, you know, I love Jesus on a Sunday, but forget how to live for him the other 6 days of the week. So many people get confused. COVID rocked so many people's peace and tranquility in life because they didn't bring Jesus into the fear they experienced into their life. We look back now and we kind of laugh and we say, really? Was that big of an issue? Many people think and look at life and you have to look back and say, well, really, where was I at when the fear was alarming? Was Jesus involved in that situation? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation, the Lord with you all. It's the illustration of the, are you the thermometer or are you the thermostat? The thermometer, it measures the temperature. The thermostat sets the temperature. Every day, are you setting the temperature saying, Jesus, you're in control. Jesus, you're in this situation. I love how Dallas Willard once put it this way. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. If Jesus were you, how would that discipleship process play out? See, with Jesus in every situation and every aspect of our life, not just on a Sunday, that means Jesus in every situation, we're saying, how would Jesus respond in that conversation? How would Jesus treat that person who mistreated me? How would Jesus respond in traffic? How would Jesus respond when my kids bring home some bad grades? How would Jesus respond with my neighbors going through some situations? How would Jesus respond in this Christmas season? How does Jesus respond? It's a thread that we look at and we ask in every part of our lives. I was inspired by the story from Billy Hornsby and his wife. Billy Hornsby was the founder of ARC, Association of Related Churches. It's fascinating just the testament of what God has done through ARC. Many churches, it's a juggernaut in church planting. People are knowing Jesus left and right because of the vision of Billy Hornsby and his wife. But what is just so fascinating about the story, they come to a point in their life where Billy and his wife both have the diagnosis of cancer. So they're processing and they're trying to say, how do I fill in my family? How do we let them know and make them aware of what's taking place in our lives? They set the family together and they allowed people to ask questions from the grandkids to their children. And they're sitting there and they're going through it. And they say, well, this is one thing we're guaranteed. We're going to make Jesus the leader of our life. We're not going to be distracted by what comes our way. We know there's going to be some ups. We know there's going to be some downs. But we know Jesus is in control. In that moment, they are making Jesus the thermostat over their lives. Every situation. In your worry, Jesus, how do I respond? In your fear, Jesus, how do I respond? When things are great, how do you respond? I think a lot of times we have a tendency when life goes great, we can just kind of be like, all right, I don't really have to keep things going. Like, it's just going. And we kind of get ignorant and arrogant about some things. But when things are going well, when I have the right to be prideful, how would Jesus respond? Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and right and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Every situation, Paul puts it, keep putting into practice all that you have learned from me. And then lastly, when it comes to developing peace over your life, keep your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. In the Old Testament, which is your first half of your Bible, 39 books, there's 23,145 verses. In your New Testament, there's 7,957 verses. So that's a total of, for my math experts out there, trust me, I had to punch this in my calculator numerous times, 31,102 verses. That's a lot of verses, a lot of content. But when you divide that number in half, it leads us to Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With all my heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. When you think how fascinating the scriptures and the text, when Jesus is moving into our lives and the peace that is coming, if you want peace, never forget all the good he has done in your life. All the good that he's about to do over your life. In this Christmas season, this indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, we try to contextualize, Jesus did this for me, but we can't because there's this fascinating move of God in his spirit supernaturally over us that's saying, Jesus, man, never forget the good you've done in my life. The eternity that you've created anew in my life. Man, never forget that. May I never forget how you restored my family. May I never forget that. May I never forget that moment when my mom, we thought it was over for her. May I never forget the moment he gave me more time with her. May I never forget my marriage, how God's brought a beautiful bride into my life. May I never forget the four children that are blessed upon my life. May you never forget how God's worked over your life, the good he has done in your life. Right now, some of you have an opportunity to receive the goodness of God by beginning a relationship with Jesus. My prayer is in this moment, watching online, you never forget this opportunity of the good that God will bring into your life. My friends, God offers us radical peace in our life through his son Jesus, in which he is described as indescribable. That is good. May we never forget that. May we always keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. May we always praise him. May we always remember his love for each and every one of us. May we always rest in his fortress, and may we take refuge in his name. This morning, I want to pray over two groups of people as we conclude our service and our time together. The first group is this. It's those who don't have a relationship with Jesus. Simply put, you've been looking for peace in a lot of different areas of life. You've been looking for peace in your finances. You've been looking for peace in people. You've been looking for peace in maybe a career. You've been looking for peace in just living and moving to Florida. You've been looking for peace, maybe thinking about moving back home. You're looking for peace. My friends, peace can only be found with Jesus Christ. It's simple as that. So I want to give you an opportunity to say, Jesus, come into my life, work in my life. When we pray, you just say, just, I believe you are Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Scripture says you are saved. It's simple as that because Jesus did the heavy lifting. And then there's a second group of people I want to pray over in this Christmas season. When we showed some of those images at the front, you're like, yeah, I am just, I'm loose, I'm fraying, I'm going a little crazy right now because you've kind of lost the priority of peace of Jesus Christ in your life. You started compartmentalizing a little bit. You quit focusing on Jesus. You haven't made him Lord overall. Once things got good, you started doing everything a little bit yourself. Maybe you need to come back to the center and say, Jesus, I need you in the center of my life so I can have you all around in my life, so I can have peace in every situation over my life. So two groups of people, as we pray, and then we'll dismiss, we'll conclude. Enter into this time and say, Jesus, I just want your radical peace in my life. Move in my life. Let's pray together. God, we give you this moment. We say thank you as we celebrate this Christmas season. We say thank you for the indescribable gift of your son, Jesus Christ, the work of him on the cross to give us a new relationship that's indescribable. Lord, I pray for that first group of people right now. They're in this place right now. They're watching online. They want peace. They're trying to find peace. They're seeking it. They're searching everywhere. Maybe they just showed up today randomly. They drove by the church. Maybe they came to watch some kids perform, and you're working in their lives right now, in their hearts right now. May they declare that Jesus, you are now the Lord over their lives, and that you have saved them. God, I also pray for those people right now in this place who are here and they've kind of messed up the priorities. Lord, may they center their life back on your son, Jesus, where peace is established, where peace is given, not in the which way the world is given, but peace comes from above. We give you today. We give you this Christmas season. And in Jesus, your mighty name, all that God's people said.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.